Now it's time for Solomon with his permaculture update.
Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for staying with us again on the Extension Radio permaculture segment. I am Solomon Amozu, a permaculture activist from Ghana. Today, we are taking you through how to design a system by efficient energy planning. The key to efficient planning, which is the zone and sector placement, must be economically known in every permaculture design. Zone planning means placing elements according to how we often attend to them. Areas that must be visited every day, example, animal system, garden, glasshouse, are located nearby, while places visited less frequently, example, orchard, grazing area, woodlots, are located further away. Note that the beehives, for example, are visited frequently, but they are always located far away because of their heavy attack on humans when they get disturbed in their system. To place elements in zones, always start from the center of activity, usually the house, although this can also be barn, a plant nursery business, or an entire village. Zoning is decided by one, the number of times you need to visit the element, that is plant, animal, or structure. Two, the number of times the element need to be visited. For example, on a yearly basis, we must visit the poultry shed for eggs 350 times a year, for manure 20 times a year, for carlin 5 times a year, others 20 times a year, for a total of 395 visits annually, whereas one might visit an oak tree only twice a year to collect acorns. The more visits needed, the closer the object need to be. Those components needing very frequent observation, constant visits, must be placed very close by, or we waste a great deal of time, effort, and energy visiting them. The golden rule is to develop the nearest area first, get it under control, and then expand the edges. Too often, the beginner chooses a garden far from the house and neither harvests the plants efficiently nor cares for them well enough. Any soil can be developed for a garden over time, so stay close to the house when placing the garden and orchard. Now, let us talk about these zones into more details, beginning with zone 1. Zone 1 is close to the house. It is the most controlled and intensively used area and can contain the garden, workshop, greenhouse, and propagation. Small animals, that is rabbits and guinea pigs. Fuel for the house, that is gas and wood. Compost, mulch, wood lines, and grain drying area. There are no large animals on ranch, and perhaps only a few large trees, that is, depending on shade requirements. Any frequently visited or essential small tree can be placed in this zone. Example, reliably bearing lemon tree. Zone 2 is still intensively maintained with dense plantings, that is, large shrubs, small fruits, and terraces, hedges, trellis, and ponds. There are a few large trees with a complex herb layer and understory, especially small fruits. Plant and animal species that require care and observation are located in this zone, and water is fully reticulated, that is, drip irrigation for trees. Poultry is let into selected area, example orchard, woodlots, to ranch, and an area for one male cow can be fenced in front of the next zone. Zone 3, contain unpruned and unmulched orchard, large pastures or ranges for meat animal or rearing flocks and main crops. Water is available only to some plants, although there are watering areas for animals. Animals are cows, sheep, and semi-managed bears. Plants, trees include windbreaks, thickets, woodlots, and large trees, such as nut and oak, for animal forage. Zone 4 is semi-managed, semi-wild, used for gathering, hardy food, unpruned trees, and wildlife and forest management. Timber is a managed product and the other yields. Plants and wildlife are possible. Zone 5 is unmanaged or barely managed natural. Up to this point, we design. In Zone 5, we observe and learn. It is our essential place for meditation, where we are visitors, not managers. Zones are a convenient, abstract way to deal with distances. However, in practice, zone edges will blur into each other, or landform and site access may mean that sometimes the least used area, that is zone 5, is next to the most intensively used area, that is zone 1. For example, a steep forest hill directly behind the house. We can in fact bring wedges of zone 5 right to our front door as a corridor for wildlife, bears and nature. Or we can extend zone 1 along a frequently used path, that is a loop path which takes us from the house to the barn, past the chicken shed into the garden, near the woodpile, and back to the house. Zoning patterns may change when we are working with two or more centers of activity. Say between the house and the guest house, cottage, or the house and the barn, or an area that is larger on scale, between the building in a village. In this case, we must carefully work out linkage between these centers, consisting mostly of access, water and trees, energy supply, sewage and fencing connections. This is what David Holmgren calls network analysis, which plans for more complex sites, making connections between roads, pipes, windbreaks and so on to service more than one center. This is where we're going to end today's show, and we'll continue next week. To end today's show, I would like to appeal to you on our project we're currently running in Ghana. We are about to design a school gardening and tree planting project in Ghana, and we are raising about $6,000 in aid of this project between now and June. We already have a social media fundraising that is already going on. But for those of you who are not aware of it, if you would like to support or to inquire for any information, you can reach us on calltonature@gmail.com or amuzu.solomon@yahoo.com, or you can call us on +233 20444 7035, and the next number is +233 571 32 5776. You can also visit our Facebook page at Call to Nature Permaculture. We thank you so much for being with us and hope we're gonna be the best on the planet. Thank you.